Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Comic Book Nation, the only show that does it all for geek culture and the official podcast of comicbook.com. Today, we are proud to be jumping in to a recap of Star Trek Discovery Season 5, the final season of Star Trek Discovery, one of the most pivotal and arguably game-changing Star Trek series that we've gotten, and which happened to launch this entire new Star Trek TV universe of the modern age. And who better to help me jump into the final season of Discovery than our very own Star Trek expert, Mr. Jamie Lovett, is here with me. What's going on, man?
Not much. Excited to be here talking about one last Star Trek Discovery premiere.
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot on Comic Book Nation. We say we do it all for geek culture, but that's kind of, as the kids use the parlance of our time, it's kind of cap. We've been slacking on the Star Trek front for quite a minute, and which is crazy because Jamie almost sometimes single-handedly holds down all things Star Wars here at comicbook.com. So we've just been criminally skipping over you for these 6 years, but we said, hey, it's got one last run. Let's get him in here. Let's let this guy out. It's like that Oscar. It's like that legacy Oscar they gave Peter Jackson, you know? You get to the end of the trilogy, and then we're like, all right, let's give this guy his flowers now. But but all seriousness, we've been trying to figure out how to do more Star Trek coverage here because it's a passionate fan base. I'm one of them. I've gotten to do things with the franchise, like host a panel at Comic-Con and meet, like, you know, Captain Pike himself, Anson Mount. And you and I kind of got into this and really started getting into this new era of Star Trek coverage together with the launch of Discovery so many years ago on that old CBS All Access. Remember that?
Man, remember that.
Wait, I'm laughing, but now we're owned
by that. This series outlasted the original branding of the streaming service it debuted on.
Yes, and now we are now owned by Paramount, full disclosure. So now we're, but now we're part of that camp too. All right, check out Comic Book Nation on Paramount Plus. All right, so let's talk about Star Trek Discovery Season 5. So, full disclosure, I hate saying this and starting this off, but I didn't keep up with Discovery as much as the other Star Trek universe offerings, which I'm much more on top of. And it wasn't anything because of Discovery or any shortcomings. I've always loved this cast, the kind of premise. Even, you know, I have my seasonal rankings like everybody else, but overall, I like the show. It's just because, like, when in season 4 came out, I feel like we had this weird embarrassment of riches where there was just like a lot of Star Trek content floating around once again. And ironically, now season 5 is coming back full circle to where we're like, you know, it's mostly a clean playing field with, you know, not quite as much Star Trek content. And this has a chance to catch my focus again. So that's the only thing I'll say about this. But just to kick it off, yeah, I enjoyed these first two episodes as somebody, because I've been going back and trying to catch up on season 4 and just make sure I was like paying attention to everything that happened there. But season 5, weirdly and ironically, feels like this season where they've kind of put all the disparate elements of this show in the other seasons, the criticisms, like, finally together into like a cohesive, like, it's a little bit hopeful, but it's still a little bit edgy and kind of new age Star Trek, but still has that kind of underlying pin of hope, exploration, and shedding some of the, you know, not shedding, but handling and balancing some of the darker elements of the series a lot more, or in a fun way that we can enjoy with these two villains that we get with this first couple arc of episode. And so I feel like in a weird way, the show has like really confidently found its footing as it's going out the door. But that's just my take from the first two episodes. Jamie, I know you have a much better insightful take. So yeah, what did you think?
No, it's funny. I was just thinking that the season confidence, you mentioned that confidence, and this really feels like it has it. I mean, keep in mind, they didn't know this was the last season going into it. They didn't get that news until they were done filming. And yeah, it has a lot of, it feels like, you know, it seems silly to say that through its first four seasons, Discovery was trying to prove itself. But if that was ever the case, it no longer feels like that. It feels like they came into season five very much like, we know what we're doing. We know what we're good at. We know who these characters are and how they interact and how to have fun with them. And they went in and did that. And I mean, it's also very tonally different from last season, because last season, what we open with, they blow up a planet and literally everybody Book knows dies in like the first episode. And they have to deal with that for the rest of the season. In this season, they're just like, nah, we're just doing fun like Indiana Jones and space stuff. I mean, there are still stakes and there are still disasters and, you know, lives on the line and casualties, but it's all done with a lot more like swagger and style and we're having fun with it kind of attitude, instead of, you know, immediately opening with a literally global disaster and having to deal with the ramifications of that throughout the season. It's like the potential threat of this season happened in like episode one of last season. And so they had to deal with that. Whereas in this season, the threat is still potential. And so they're allowed to have fun fighting that threat and trying to stop it from happening in the first place, if that makes sense. And I think that changes the whole like outlook and vibe of the show in this season.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, I was muted. Sorry. I was going to say, yeah, there was a dark period of Star Trek dealing with some of this kind of pandemic hangover. And yes, we didn't get some of the strongest seasons of, you know, Discovery, and certainly not Picard. We don't have to talk about that second season of Picard. Third season, yes. Weird that they chose to do Picard seasons one and three, but skip two. But, you know, here we are. yeah. And so there was a lot of that kind of dealing. I mean, and consequently, like, I get that. It's hard for Star Trek, the vision of the utopian future, to maybe carve out a utopian vision in the midst of all that was happening back in 2020 to 2021. Yeah, those were difficult hope times. But yeah, it is good to see them get back to what you said, like this kind of Indiana Jones in space, which I was kind of like off my footing when the episode opens, because we do the in media race and then, oh, earlier and here we got there. But it was like, yeah, when it first started, I was like, okay, this is a lot, because it's a big effects heavy thing. And, you know, they can only do so much with effects. But then when you get to the minutiae of the episode, that's where I remembered very quickly what I like about this. Like you said, we're at a point where all these characters know who they are. And the one lingering question, and check out Jamie's interviews with the Star Trek Discovery cast, because they're kind of framed very well in helping you understand this season, is, you know, this theme of Discovery's been this weird middle child where it started before the first, you know, original series. It's kind of leading into that leading into what we now has another. It's a prequel to the prequel, which would be Strange New Worlds. And it's a prequel to that. And then we jumped through alternate universes, times, timelines, and we ended up in the furthest future of Star Trek that we've ever been, or that we've ever spent enough time. And I want Star Trek people coming out of the woodwork and being like, you forgot the 1994, not like the one that the future we spent the most time in, that we were actually living in. And it feels like this season is, like you said, they were reacting to something that happened this cataclysmic event and this whole thing we've been kind of getting back to Starfleet and what it means in this context and all this. Now we're there, and it's kind of like just getting down to the final act of getting these characters into the slots in this new timeline and world where they need to be and where they feel like they should be doing the most good. And so that's kind of a nice, if you didn't know this was your final seasonal arc, that's kind of a nice arc to have.
Yeah.
Is just getting everybody where they're going to do the most good in this new context. And it does a lot for the franchise and for the potential future of the franchise, because literally as this being a new branch of the timeline, we can come back to that's populated with characters we know and will be in various places. And so I'm already digging that as the overall structure of the season, because it's a good guideline for all the scenes and character interactions and thematic angles. And it's good to see that we're going to get this started out from the very first episode. It's not like, it feels like there's an actual cohesive vision and arc to this whole thing. And from where we start into where we'll inevitably kind of end up.
Yeah, this is it's shaping up to be a real like linchpin season as far as the overall franchise goes, because I don't know how much we want to spoil about the episode, but the early synopsis hinted at, you know, some connection to like the TNG era, which is made very explicit in this first episode and is really the crux of the whole season. And then you've also got it like laying down some groundwork. They finally came out recently and were like, yes, that Starfleet Academy show is going to be set in the 32nd century. So you can kind of see them laying the groundwork for where that's going to kind of spin out of this season. And then, yeah, like you said, it's really for, you know, if you were going to do a last season, you could do, without knowing that it was the last season, you could do a lot worse than where they start off here. There is a very big question that feels like a very fitting, like, summation of everything Discovery has been through since season one. And then every character kind of feels like they are achieving the version of themselves that they set out to be back in season one. There's stuff, again, not giving too much away, but there's stuff where Burnham's story kind of comes full circle and she's able to give to somebody else the same kind of grace that she got early on in the season. There are, you know, Saru is kind of taking his Starfleet career to a new level. All of these characters are like you kind of said, they are finding their new place in this new timeline, this new era, this really new universe that they have found themselves in and have been adjusting to since season three. And yeah, and they, you know, they said they went back and filmed the kind of epilogue to tie everything up for this season towards the end. But I think they're in a pretty great starting position for this being the thing that ties everything up and also kind of tease up what comes next. Because there is, you know, while this is, you know, Picard finished and this is going off the air after this, they've got more stuff coming down the pipe. And this is, you know, it feels like a junction, both a finish and a junction as to what's coming next, which is about as much as you could ask for, hey, surprise, you're canceled at season five, getting that news unexpectedly.
It's also, I mean, kind of weirdly, again, like full circle, like what Discovery has always done. Discovery, when it started, was both a beginning and a junction point for this entire Star Wars universe that we got afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, if this is going to be the show that's going to do it, I mean, it might as well be this show, right? If that's how you're going to finish. So, yeah, so far, so good. I mean, that's kind of, I like to get deeper and be kind of, you know, analytical, but so far, so good is kind of my basic summation for this. And I really dug both episodes, but I really dug, you know, seasonal beginnings can be tricky. And this was a really good one. Like you said, a good, fun Indiana Jones and space kind of vibe. We got classic Star Wars elements. We got some good charismatic villains. But we also had beefs within Star Trek, or within Starfleet itself, with Burnham and the other Vulcan captain who's played by that actor.
Rainer, not a Vulcan. I don't know what
not a Vulcan.
Not a Vulcan, yeah.
Wait, what?
He's an interesting character, too, because he is vastly different from any Star Trek captain I can remember, or Starfleet captain I can remember popping up in Star Trek. But yeah, he's an interesting dude.
Oh man, that's crazy. I'm so much more interested in this now. I gotta go and do some digging. But yeah, he played Dodd in Memento. He's in Jigsaw. You know, it's a Callum Rennie, who's great character actor and, you know, scene stealer, and some big things happen with his character by the end of these, because I think we're getting the first two episodes by the time everybody sees this. Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah? And so by the end of those first two episodes, yeah, and by the end of that two episode arc, there are big things that are done with his character that are going to be really interesting. And he's a fun addition to the show. I got to say, he brings some spice and some liveliness to these. And I don't know what it is about the final season of these shows, but Picard season 3 also had like great new captain that we got in that. And it was just like, it's all over. he was a great new addition. And, you know, production wise, like, again, talk about finding your footing. There are some great sequences in here, even on a TV budget that we get of just, I think we've been watching the trailer and it still catches my eye, is the tech that these two new bad guys use. The bad guys, and their names are Maul, who is played by Eve Harlow, another good character actress, and Lack, who's played by Elias Tufexis. I don't want to butcher his names. It sounds French. But those two are very charismatic and good, but like their tech that is so interesting because they collect ancient tech and they kind of basically Rick Sanchez portal gun Michael Burnham out of a ship, which is into deep space. And, you know, it's sequences like that that I was just like, wow, Star Trek is cooking on the visual level, because, yeah, that was a pretty great sequence, and the battle sequences and stuff and the weaponry and everything they've done with Discovery, like visually, I feel like they've just as confident in now as opposed to when they began and they were trying to sell us on like, hey, phasers, phaser rifles, this other stuff, like this is what Klingons are now. Like, and everybody was freaking out. Like, yeah, it just feels like they're comfortable. They're in it. And these sequences are fun and exciting. There's fun, exciting ship and aerial space, terrestrial kind of chases and stuff like that. And they pack it pretty much all in that first episode. So yeah, it's a great place for you to get your Star Trekking if you haven't been Star Trekking in a while, you know.
Yeah, on that note, you know, there was that, I think it was a Variety feature story about Star Trek, and it was so funny hearing them all talk about how proud they are that they managed to bring these shows in on the budget they do, because it's such a well-oiled machine, and there are certain sets that if you keep up with the behind-the-scenes stuff, you know that they have redressed the same sets, like, half a dozen times and make them look entirely different, which is very, very cool. You mentioned, you know, the premieres can be hard, but for me with Discovery, their season premieres and their season finales have always been their strongest points. It always starts really well and ends really well. Where it does hit weaker episodes tend to be in the middle, where it feels they're never really bad, but it can feel a little bit like they're trying to reach that streaming episode count that is required of these shows. So I was impressed, but I have, you know, I obviously won't say anything about them, but I've seen the first four episodes in order to do the junket, and they keep up the level. Then the next couple are a little bit more like sci-fi concept episodes as opposed to these ones, which were just really action heavy. But they are also reeking of that, we've been doing this for five seasons, we know what we're doing now kind of confidence, that I feel like was sometimes lacking in those, like I said, weaker middle of the season episodes. So given that they're going this hard four episodes in from what I've seen, I am very, very excited to see what comes from the remaining episodes of the season, because they are coming out incredibly strong in these first four. With I can't wait for people to see, honestly, the fourth episode, because it is a wild one, and I'm really looking forward to the reactions to that one without giving too much away.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Bye. And I think you get 10 total this final season, right?
I believe it's 10. I believe 10 is correct.
Oh, yep, 10. And we haven't even gotten into it, and we don't want to spoil it for people, but this is a recap, so they have watched it now that I'm thinking about it. So, yeah, we get basically the ancient humanoid or progenitors, I don't know what we call them, but from that Next Generation episode, The Chase, go look that up, streaming on Paramount Plus. And Michael Byrne and them are basically hunting down the building blocks of life itself, which is quality Star Trek. And more importantly, it sounds like a good kind of, we're doing Star Trek 5, but you know, let's make it good and like do it that way. It's going to be interesting to see kind of literally and figuratively what this unlocks in terms of for the future, for the larger kind of span of Star Trek. I'm also kind of interested to see, because like you said, there's more stuff in the pipeline. We've gotten our first look at like the Section 31 movie and things like that. So I'm interested to see if this season, and maybe you know something already, but does anything to tie up every kind of plot thread, even including things like Philippa, you know, Giorgio, and how does that even kind of fit back into this when they're in such separate places? She's in, you know, whatever. I forget what century she's in right now, but she's back in the original, you know, series timeline and there in the future. So I'm kind of interested to see if that all comes up, you know what I mean? Or if we get into that kind of, yeah, any kind of space where we can tie that up, like a Q episode or something weird.
Yeah, that would be, it would be really cool to see like Q pop up or something like that. Not that I've seen or heard that is a thing, but that would be incredible. It is like, let me tell you, I did not expect to see the final season of Star Trek Discovery be a sequel to The Chase, an episode, not exactly the highest ranked episode of Star Trek The Next Generation ever. This episode that basically exists to answer the question of why are all the aliens in the universe just humans with different head ridges, right? Yeah, it's because they all came from the same genetic code. Why not? Did not expect to see that come back. The progenitors are what they're called now. They didn't get a name in The Chase, so Discovery just kind of gave them that name. And, you know, you can see I interviewed Alex Kurtzman and Michelle Paradise about that and asked them about it. And apparently it's just one of those episodes that stuck with Michelle Paradise. And she thought, hey, we should follow up on this because there are a lot of questions that didn't get answered by that episode. They just kind of are like, oh, we found the creators of all life. I guess we're done here. Let's move on. Like that doesn't raise as many questions as it answers. And to what you were speaking to, I also asked Alice Kurtzman about, like, you know, Discovery's done, Picard's done. These are the two shows that opened this whole era of Star Trek. You know, are we pivoting to a new phase? You know, what's happening? And he obviously wasn't like, well, here's a list of everything I'm doing. But he did kind of imply that, you know, yeah, Star Trek, Starfleet Academy is in the works and we're working on other stuff that you haven't heard about yet. And you know, this is not to put it how he put it. They are not in the game of volume. So they're not worried about keeping a certain number of Star Trek shows on the air. They're worried about them all, you know, being distinct and different, which I think they've done an excellent job of so far. Even the live action ones, even the ones that spin off directly of each other, Strange New Worlds doesn't feel like Discovery. It kind of looks like Discovery, but it doesn't, like the episodes are entirely different. So yeah, they're still cooking. It's got a little bit of a gap because of the strike and everything, but it's coming and I'm looking forward to it. Like you said, I'll be interested to see how much they tee other things up because these episodes do Star Trek or Starfleet Academy a little bit with everything around Tilly. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much, you know, if they go the it's all connected route that Marvel once touted, or if they stick to everything kind of being its own thing and only lightly referencing each other the way they have so far.
Yeah. And you could do it both ways because, yeah, Star Trek, I mean, it's all about their science. There's There's geopolitical matters that carry over to series. There's scientific things. There's things that are just, you know, frankly, unanswered plot threads, even within this new universe. I mean, Picard season one, that show we never came back to. You and I covered that. So we were writing so much about this, about these machine gods, what the threat of them are. Mm-hmm. They reference they're just hanging out somewhere and we don't ever want to get them because they're going to come and, you know, they're going to come and X-Men us and do that whole nine. And, you know, it's just like we've never gotten back to any of that. I feel like Discovery season two and the Red Angel and all that has some questions that are still kind of like weirdly hanging. So, yeah, there's a lot here to pull from. But I'm just kind of hoping that we get to like I would just like to know these characters are out there. I don't think anything needs to be so connected. But I like to know that, like, if Michael Burnham and I don't know anything, guys. I know these premiere episodes. That's it. So, but if like Michael Burnham and books settle down and become just, you know, rascally adventurers in the, you know, in that century trying to do good or whatever, like, yeah, some other show that comes along later and we run into Michael Burnham and book, that's going to be an event. That's going to be like us and that being that Leonardo DiCaprio meme, like sitting up and being like, oh, there they are. Like, and I want that. I want to see Tilly come in and out of the Starfleet Academy show and just, you know, we run into these characters around the universe or there's lingering storylines or things that get picked up by other shows where they need help from these people. Like, you know, that's the fun of it. I think we can have in a Star Trek universe. We don't need to directly kind of like make the ties too heavy. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I think a lot of us with that Star Trek Legacy show, which would be kind of like the next balance of the old and the new. And hey, I saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I think it's still possible. You can get the old dogs and the new dogs kind of playing together and have a lot of fun with that and do something like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think for all the flack it gets, since this is our last first time out with this show, is Star Trek Discovery took some of the biggest swings I've ever seen for a Star Trek series. And it really did have to launch a new era of Star Trek when there was, like, nothing there. And it took, years. It was a lightning rod. Yeah. And it was a lightning rod for all of that. But I think it's a testament to like these two episodes and the strength of them in a way that I feel like even the most traditional old school Star Trek fan can enjoy of how far we've come, how far the show, you know, the creative teams behind the show and the cast have come and this whole universe as a whole. So yeah, man, it's a, so it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a fair amount of legacy attached to this one, too. And I'm happy to be along for kind of this final ride.
Yeah, same. And, you know, the traditional path for Star Trek shows is, you know, if you're popular enough, you get canceled and you come back as a movie. And we know that Star Trek, that Paramount Plus is getting in the Star Trek movie business now. So who knows what the future can hold? Or alternatively, I love some good like tie-in media. And IDW is doing a bang up job with those comics right now. So if they want to start a post, you know, do Star Trek Discovery season 6 as a comic book, I'd be down to read that too. It's not the same as getting the cast all back together, but I'll take it. But yeah, I'm excited to see where this lasts. Every season of Discovery is like getting on a different roller coaster. So I'm excited to see what this one, you know, all the turns on this one as we reach the end.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And yeah, I'm if I don't get a like a Revenge of the Terran Empire like mega movie event at some point, like what are we doing here? You know, like that's gonna be my next Wrath of Khan. Like I need that Terran Empire revenge thing when Giorgio is like already kind of like in her deep black bag of Section 31, and the whole universe has got to defend against this crazy empire and their own evil selves. Yeah, that's TV movie stuff right there. Like I need to get into this. So. If anybody from Star Trek happens to listen to this and listens all the way to the end, Revenge of the Terran Empire. I need that as a movie event, like on Paramount Plus. All right, we will be here. And I think just as a kind of just program announcements, we are Comic Book Nation. We do a whole series of shows. We have Anime Initiative at the top of the week, which covers all things anime. Then Matthew Aguilar, my co-host, does the pull list on Wednesdays, covering everything new in comics that week. On Wednesdays, we do our Quick Save Gaming segment. Plus, we also have plenty of bonus episodes doing things just like this, recap episodes. And this week alone, we're doing the season 2 finale of Invincible, as we are doing the season 5 premiere of Star Trek Discovery. And if you already have Paramount Plus, make sure you go back and check out all our Halo season 2 coverage, because each one of these recaps, we also had an interview with a major cast or creator of the show. So check out that whole series of videos on the Comic Book Nation YouTube page. And Jamie's going to be joining us in the future for more of these kind of sci-fi fandom segments. We're going to be doing Star Trek. We're going to be doing Star Wars. The Acolyte is coming later this year, and we're going to be there for that. And all the kind of sci-fi stuff in between that we should be talking about but never get to talk about because it always falls through the cracks of everything. So we'll be here to catch that too. So make sure you subscribe to Comic Book Nation on our YouTube page and your favorite podcast platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, all of them. So check that all out, and thank you for joining us, and live long and prosper out there, guys.